Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, the lore, and the iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we get started, I'm working on a deep dive for the sneaker newsletter about the Nike Mind 001 and 002. What Nike's actually trying to do here, why the marketing is so different, and how this fits the broader strategy. That's coming to subscribers later this week at thesneakernewsletter.com. Today, Robbie Rowett and I are debating whether this shoe is genius or a mess. Let's jump in.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move by Jordan!
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
5 seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson. Against Gilbert, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. First episode of the new year. We've got some fun stuff to talk about. I'm with my guys, Rowett and Robbie. Sneaker History Podcast, back in your feed. I think we just got to jump right in and talk about the Nike Mind stuff. I'll say that I gave these guys a heads up before we started recording. It's been a long time since the text messages were flying in about shoes, new shoes from Nike. Of course, when the Wu-Tang Dunks came out, the Undefeated Fours came out, people are either, you know, completely pissed off about it or like super stoked that they're finally going to get these grails. And the last 4 or 5 days for me, I've probably had about 8 text messages from people that I don't necessarily talk about sneakers with regularly, and some people that I haven't talked to for a year plus, you know, and they're like, hey, what do you think of these? Have you heard about these? I got a pair of these, you know, I got the whole range. So guys, what do you think? Like, is Nike onto something? I feel like I'm excited about it because I feel like we haven't had this level of buzz to debate about.
I guess I'll start off as the antagonist on the Rowett show. But I mean, he brought up yesterday that he bought a pair of these, and I've been on a full cleanse. I don't even have the Nike apps on my phone, and I don't follow Nike on socials or anything, so I'm pretty out of touch with these having released. And I remember first seeing them, what's the soccer player's name? Like the blonde-haired guy,
The striking Viking, Erling Haaland.
Yep. Yeah, so seeing that guy in an ad must have been like, 6 months ago? More than that? And being like, that looks stupid, and it probably doesn't work. But Nick's enthusiasm and Rowett's super enthusiasm, I'm now interested just in the last 30 seconds, and I'll pass it over to Rowett.
Okay. Listener, if some of you are familiar with The Daily Show, there's always a segment every episode where the host will throw it to whichever niche correspondent is on that day. So for all intents and purposes, I am senior mind correspondent, Rowett Malhotra today. And I'm going to borrow the adage from the old Hair Club for Men, where not only am I a president of the fan club, I'm a member of the fan club, because your boy went ham. The new year is supposed to be about, you know, kind of protecting your mindset, pardon the bad pun, protecting your wallet. And I went ahead and bought slides for both septuagenarians in my life because I've never seen my mom so hyped about a product. And she's hitting me with the, do you know the nodes do this, this, and this? And you know, like Robbie had mentioned, Erling Haaland is wearing them. I was like, I'll buy you an extra pair of slides if you can point out who Erling Haaland is in a lineup of athletes. But that's neither here nor there. It's enthusiasm, and it's enthusiasm around a new product, because much like Robbie is the antagonist to me in this, my father is the antagonist to my mother, like all great marriages, and he is constantly like, yeah, well, when's the last time Nike's inspired us with product? And even now, he is kind of like, I got him the shoebox, I've just set it on their dinner table, and he's eyeing it the same way a incumbent cat is looking at a new kitten in the household, where he wants to hate it, he wants to throw it off the table, like, wants to push it away, but he keeps like touching the node, walking away. Then 5 minutes later, touching two nodes, walking away. And so then the other day, I actually saw him walk around in it, and he's got a big Cheshire cat grin on his face. So ultimately, in that rare over 60 Indian married couple demographic, Nike's hit it out of the park.
Perfect. Perfect.
We can end the episode.
Yeah, we're out. I mean, I think the crazy part about it is, like, this is the stuff that, you know, if you go back and look at all the sneakers that we really, like, love now, when we first saw it, we were, like, sold the dream on what it meant, what it did, either a performance thing or, you know, like, I mean, I could be wrong because the three of us have not hooped, but I do not think
Hold up. So no, I thought we were going to do rocking and copping today. I've gone three times in the past 2 weeks and I am hurt. That's why I'm sitting down on this couch. I am sore, but wrong.
But not because of the shoes. Let's make that clarification.
No, the Hardens are fantastic. My old ass feet and bunions are why my feet hurt. It's not the fantastic Hard 9. But okay.
Robbie, yeah.
Here's my thought. I've thought about this a little bit. So they tried to do the Thermatech stuff first. They should have led with this. You lead with something at a much more reasonable price point, something you can more easily feel, something you can more easily produce, move, and distribute. Those Hyperice shoes are super on sale. I haven't seen one human being walking this earth in them, pun intended. I really haven't seen one pair in the wild. And I've been in Beaverton. I still haven't seen one person. There's always one person in, like, all Nike garb, really, really into it, wearing some kind of really particular shoe. And I love that for them. But not once did I see a Nike Hyperice shoe. So if they would have started with this and then ramped up to, like, into more therapeutic type footwear, that would have been I think that was a miss.
It's a logical progression.
Wait, let me circle back, Robbie. Are you implying that people doing sneaker reviews on YouTube are not the real world?
They're not. And they're as someone who can justify spending exorbitant amount of money on the stupidest things, I could not tell myself. But they were like $600, right? $350 or $600.
They were $899 initially. They would not go on sale until fairly recently. And
yeah,
even
I saw
then,
sale recently. They're still $600 now.
They're $600 now, but that's not a easy chunk of change for somebody to drop. Like,
and my feet hurt. And people have, there's an HSA promo underneath it, like it qualifies for HSA, your work HSAs. Like,
they're,
I don't want to use work
to,
HSA to buy a pair of shoes. That's insane.
I was going to say, they're telling you how to buy the shoe, and they're advising you, please don't spend your own money on this.
Yeah. America, we're now using insurance as a way to cop sneakers.
But if you started with this, like the mind, get your mind right, they already have the offline. I think the offline was a good mule transition into this. This actually has more of like a proof of concept to it. Can be able to speak to how it feels underfoot, like the sensation and tingle. But you then maybe go to like a $400 pinnacle shoe that does some type of whatever. And then you build your way up to the $800 shoe. The same way I see the Nike weights on sale that I'm given those ads on Reddit constantly. Do you want to buy Nike weights? They're super on sale right now. No, I don't want shipped weights to my house. Like,
use your HSA funds for that as well.
Right. But like, this is a good proof of concept, and it could have expanded, funneled upward instead of bottlenecking out this way.
It's kind of like a pyramid scheme is what you're saying. No, but Robbie, you bring up a good point, because somebody could very easily have made, let's use like the evolutionary chart as a piece of inspiration for the marketing. At first, man created the Cortez, and then like you can show the offline mule and show the progression that my co-host so expertly laid out for us. And that is a good way of doing it, because ultimately, this is as big of a bet Nike has made on something that's outside of the three product engines of apparel, footwear, or accessories. So it's a gamble in the same way that the Fuel Band was a gamble. Like, that's the one thing that I keep coming back to, is the Fuel Band was as unique of an attempt for Nike to change consumer behavior in terms of what was within the realms of possibility in terms of Nike offerings. And say what you will, that first year, the Fuel Band was hitting. It was everywhere. It was ubiquitous. Nobody seemed to understand the science in terms of explaining it, but everybody was adamant, I have to hit my goal. And then it died a very quick death. And dare I say, we not even mention Fuel Band anymore in terms of, like, it's not even a Crystal Pepsi type of, let's say, well, go ahead.
The Fuel Band is a really good thing to bring up, because before the Fuel Band, there's the really niche garment GPS watch wearers, really high tech watch. And then they kind of
expensive
even with, like,
back
the
then too.
Very expensive. And then the Nike Plus, the chips, the sensors, that whole mechanism then paved the way for Apple to start charging $400 for more smart wrist-like tech or information-based tech. We now have Aura rings. It's not an Aura ring. But those things exist. So the Field band was, I think, a very important evolutionary step, the same way early MP3 players needed to exist for the iPod to exist. Without that early adoption of the tech in general, we all had the Rio players or like the weird named MP3 players, right? We all, if you're over the age of 30, you could think of your weird brand of choice.
I had a weird Nike one that I could only hold like 20 songs on too.
See, they got in. Yeah. Why not try it? But like the Field band and subsequently the Nike Plus chips and all that kind of information-based feedback from your shoes and from your athletics, whatever you're doing, really paved the way for other brands to then start charging, expand on it, bring the price down. But then what, we have $1,000 Apple Watches now, the Apple Watch Plus, whatever. So it's like...
That's a great point. So, Robbie, do you think, both of you guys, do you think that, you know, like, I think Nike Plus had so much potential, and I love the Fuel Band because it wasn't just like tracking, you know, my heart rate or steps or whatever. It was like something that I could share and be a little competitive with and razz my friends about when they didn't hit their numbers. And like, we did a lot of back and forth around it. I do that a little bit in the Apple Watch sometimes, but not everybody's using an Apple Watch. Some people are on Strava. Some people are, you know, on Garmin or Android phones, whatever. So there's all these variations in the market now. But like, when I start to think about it, and you bringing up the Nike Plus stuff, I think of like the Hyperdunks and those shoes in the early days of basketball where they were trying to do it. Are we going to get to that point again? Like, are we going to get to the point where like the technology in our watch or in our glasses or whatever we have is going to eventually connect to our shoes again, do you think?
It should. It's a logical progression. Now, the one thing that as much as I like the Fuel Band, I thought Nike Plus, especially in the basketball sense, was a little limited because of the fact that when we were getting the marketing around it, we were told this is going to change your game. Now, that was the dawn of the 2010s or maybe the early part of the 2010s. And somebody can correct me in the comments or hell, write us a review and tell me I'm wrong that way. But I thought the Nike Plus basketball offerings were limited because all it gave you was your vert and all your speed, which is fine. Like, that's a good introductory thing. But then I remember having conversation with people that were a part of that Nike Plus basketball team and saying, like, what's the next logical thing? Because not only should the tech evolve, we as the fans are evolving, right? Like, the casual NBA fan can at least spout maybe 2 to 3 different NBA analytics that if they felt so inclined, they might be like, hey, if I play pickup, I would love to see what my calculation of this particular metric is. And I would think that is how I would assume Nike Basketball Plus to evolve. But I just don't think the tech was there. And it's a great novelty in terms of like the first time you suit up in the Nike Basketball Plus stuff, you're like, wow, I did really go fast, or wow, I jumped that high for this thing. But the offerings have to be as diverse as the people that purchase the product. And I don't think we ever got there. And that's why I'm hoping that when we do see that next evolution, because it is a question of when and not if, are we going to see more product offerings and more benefits that come with this type of system?
So I know they were also in the Lunar Glides. They were in a couple different shoes, but to Rose's point, you got to be more widely adaptable. Weird connection. So I saw Beowulf. I had to Google. That's what I was Googling, what year it came out. I saw Beowulf, the Angelina Jolie movie, in 2007 in 3D, and it made me physically vomit because the technology wasn't there. They really wanted to make 3D movies. You see Avatar now in 3D. You can sit through it for 3 hours without any issues. So there's going to be like the Nike Plus. That's kind of Beowulf making you throw up. It's not really there yet. They're trying it. It's getting there. But now in 2024 or 2026, 2026, I can't see why the next evolution of this therapeutic or type footwear initiative is bringing it back to footwear that gives the stuff that makes your feet tired, get you those analytics to then put on the shoes that help you recover.
Yeah, it does also make me think of like, I don't know if this is the right term, but it's kind of the gamification of the whole experience, right? Like, that's what made Fuel Band fun and cool. And like, yeah, there was the ice colors and see-through technology type stuff that was like new and fascinating too. But at the end of the day, like it was like we all played the game of the Fuel Band every day. And that's what ultimately meant it became a part of our lives at that time. And I think that could also be something that maybe relates to the mind stuff that we're talking about now. But also, even if you think about, like, you know, I'm still butthurt that they shut down the Adapt app, you know, like I can't change the colors of my, Huaraches or adjust the fit of the shoes from the app anymore. Right. So like, you know, like that's, it's a simple thing, but it's kind of the way you play with the shoes. Yeah. It shut down last year. Yeah. So I can still charge the shoes and I can still use the buttons, but it's like the whole point is kind of to not have to touch the shoe. Right. Like that was the fun feature for me of those shoes. They're still wildly comfortable to me, but you know, like it's kind of weird to have a self-lacing shoe that you can't really self-lace, you know, auto-lace, whatever you want to call it. So
it's, man, that's wild. So you're still bending over and pushing the button.
Yeah. On the bottom of the shoe. Yeah.
That's
So all those Adapt shoes, the basketball, the Huarache, you know, and like, you know, I do understand that, you know, to your point about the price point of all this stuff, that was a, you know, I mean, that's definitely the most I've ever spent on a retail pair of shoes from Nike, and I got them on sale or whatever. I think I paid $250 or something, maybe $279 on sale or something with a discount code or whatever, which is, you know, it makes sense when you think about, like, it's going to come with a giant charging platform, USB cable, like you're buying the technology, right? Along with a pair of shoes. But like, that's still a lot of money for a pair of shoes that you're not going to do anything performance related in. You're basically just having them to, like, you know, have people ask you about the shoes on your feet.
Yes, let me ask you guys this. Do we want to get into the actual wear and tear, if you will, of the shoe? Because you mentioned something about the gamification of this. The one thing I would slightly worry about is, dare I say, the novelty aspect of the mind. And it's great right now. And it's something that I always thought wasn't necessarily a deterrent of the Fuel Band. But Nick, it's something you mentioned around the fact that it's a gamification. So your things are great if you're hitting your streak. But the biggest challenge for me is like, what's the day after you miss your streak? Like, do you feel encouraged enough to go after it again? Because that's where I did see Fuel Band kind of die a quick death for some folks, because they're like, this is all great, I'm doing my streak. But then if you feel especially gypped, if you did some activity and the Fuel Band didn't pick it up properly and then you lost your streak, then you're kind of like, I'm over this, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's where I'm very curious to see that both of you guys represent various interests in this product line. Would you feel that this is sustainable enough to kind of see this out until, like, let's say either a new colorway of existing lines, or let's, if we're going even further into the future, like the Nike Mind 3, 4, like would the tech and the marketing hold you off or keep you at an interested level until the next evolution of it? Or do you guys see any sort of moments where you're like, I'm kind of out now, like the gimmick has worn off?
Go ahead, Robbie. I got some thoughts on this. So go ahead.
I would just say, if you were just to re-release it with a marketing push of all those bugs are now out, it would do well again. I totally understand. Once it doesn't work, like, you need 100% success if you're going to tell somebody that you're tracking something. I really don't have too strong of feelings though, so I'm going to give it to Nick and let him share his.
So your first question is like, what do you do when you don't hit your steps or whatever? Well, I just hooked my watch up to the ceiling fan, let it run for a couple hours.
Son of a bitch, Angle. That's why you were beating me all those years.
No, I think so. The other part to this, to me, that stands out, and this is probably something you saw when you went to Japan, Rohit. I think back to like the, I think it's the Adilette Adidas shoe that had the like little like prongy things on them that some people hated them, but like they were supposed to be somewhat intentional to like relax your feet, right? Mm-hmm. So when I went to Tokyo last year or 2024, you know, we were doing like 20, 30, sometimes 40,000 steps in a day. We walked everywhere. We were on a mission to explore as much as we can over that 2-week period. And in the stores there, you know, like my shoes were comfortable. I wore the AE1s for most of that trip. I had like some Reebok Classics with some Move insoles for the rest of the time. And like I switched it up so I wasn't getting blisters or anything. But my feet were just so sore from walking so much, you know, like hours a day. But they had those like wraps that you put on the bottom of your foot and wrap around your foot. And they have these like plastic, like prickly prong things that stick into the bottom of your foot. And I first saw it and I was like, that's got to be painful. I'm not going to wear those. And then by like day two, I was like, I should just give that a shot. By like day three, I was like, I bought enough to get me through the entire rest of the trip because it just helped keep my foot, my feet from like feeling the like.
Explain this more. So stress. It's a bag. What's
no, it's the... so it's a like a almost like a Band-Aid or like an ankle wrap. And essentially like the top, like it folds up. So like the bottom part is covered in these like really like pointed pieces, almost like a, I wouldn't say like acupuncture, but it's obviously like going in that direction. So all of that on the bottom, you know, kind of like the lower half of your foot has these like little plastic nubs pointing in and like pressing into your skin. And it's supposed to promote blood flow and all of this stuff. And like the top just kind of wraps over as closure, like a Band-Aid would. But like it was a game changer. You know, like I bought some to bring home because I was like, well, at some point we're going to do this again in another city and I'm going to want to have something like this. And I am not going to be in Japan to get it. And, you know, they weren't expensive. You know, I think we probably paid like a few bucks for like a you know, a handful of days worth of them. But it was kind of magical to me. Like, and it's the reason why I think I was more interested in the mind stuff when I first saw it. Because it was like, wow, that actually kind of does make sense from a, you know, I've never done acupuncture. My stepmom swears by it. Like we were just actually talking about it in the last few days, not related to the shoes. But, you know, I think that's one of those things where like we subconsciously or not know that there is some element of this that should work the way that the marketing side is telling us that this works, right? Which, you know, to your point, Rohit, like, I think that, like, you know, usually the three of us are kind of on the front line when it comes to trying new stuff and being like, okay, let's check this out. And sometimes we're like, eh, I'm going to wait, you know, and sometimes it takes us having a conversation before one of us goes and gets it. Sometimes one of us holds out for months and then it's like, oh, that shoe's great. Like, I can't believe I haven't had that. You know, I think we've all, like, if we went back and listened to the early episodes, I feel like all of us have tried shoes or technology based on everybody else's experiences that we would have never thought that we would buy 5-6 years ago when we first started this podcast. So that kind of is where my mind goes when you're asking about like the iterations. I'm kind of always in to just see how it goes, depending on the price point, right? I think Robbie makes a really great point that the entry point for that is really important right now. People are struggling financially. And I'm definitely in that spot where I'm like, I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on shoes when, you know, like if this technology is 80% there, cool. I'll wait for 90 the next time or 100 the next time after that. But, you know, like it's kind of like you mentioned with the Hyper Ice, like that shoe to me is really interesting too. Like I'm not going to spend hundreds of dollars on it, but if I came across it at a cheap enough price, I'm like, I don't know, maybe that is a cool recovery shoe and I'm going to give it a shot, you know?
Well, it doesn't look cool either. The Hyper Ice, it doesn't have any of like the futuristic charm of other futuristic looking Nike models. Right. Yeah. It doesn't have like the sleekness, the shine. It's not there. Rohit, how much does the Nike Mind cost?
So the slides themselves cost $90, and then the actual shoe is $145, which in the grand scheme of things, considering how it is, I feel
is the slide the mule where it's like it's all covered, or is it actual okay.
It's exactly that. Dare I say it's got a bit of a cyber truck feel to it, which is not a good thing, at least Yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of see it, and maybe we're all hypersensitive, but the shoe itself, and I think that's where I would kind of point more people to, because the marketing seems like, hey, they want you to get the slide, which fair play. Everybody loves a good slide. If you have a good slide, that's basically going to be your beater inside your four walls. But if you have the extra money, dare I say, I would kind of push people towards the shoe, because the limited experience I've had wearing both of them, I feel more of a thing wearing the shoe than I do the slide.
So $90 is still a lot of money for a slide.
Oh, for a slide, absolutely. In my and this is where you guys keep me honest. I could justify paying $145 for a shoe more than I could $90 for a slide.
Man, is the slide the 001 and then the shoe is the 002?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I didn't know there were two different shoes models. I'm looking at, I guess, subliminally, I'm looking at it for the first time, the 002. That shit's ugly. I don't know a cool, better way of saying it other than it's ugly. The 001, though, it's Cybertrucky, but it's ugly in an interesting way. It's ugly in a furniture talk about me. Like, it's ugly in the same way an ugly side table is ugly, but it's cool. It's fashionable. It's modern. It's like, it's a conversation piece. I would still wear the 001 because it's interesting and has benefits. The 002 is ugly and has benefits.
I think the 001 also, you know, it has a lot of the injection molded trend of slides too. So like, it's close enough to where we're at, stands out enough too. Cause like, that's the other thing. Like, there's a price point aside, there's a lot of slides out there where I'm just like, I don't even remember who made this, you know, cause it's the same variation of a, you know, cool looking Croc or a cool looking Yeezy, you know, like I know like the Wave Runner or whatever was a wild one in the grand mix, but I think everybody kind of reeled it in and made a version that looked closer to traditional slides, which I think this kind of does. But I think the most curious thing is like when we get to the 007, is it going to come in like Aston Martin green or, and with a martini, and there's going to be a James Bond collab? Yeah, exactly. Shaken, not stirred.
When we're at 009, is the messaging still going to be helping athletes feel calm, focused, and present? Or are the benefits going to, air quotes, going to shift to please the narrative they need to tell to sell the shoe at that point? Which is fine. Every brand does that. Adidas went from, we have the lightest shoes, to the bounciest shoes, to the energy return shoes. You got to keep reinventing what you're trying to sell, totally. But like, all this to say, The feel present, that's just therapist speak hot word. I don't like that word in there for a shoe. I haven't worn it yet. Rohit, do you feel more present in the shoe?
This is the thing where I'm kudos to Nike for doing this, because anytime you get into the matters of the mind and mental health stuff, the thing that I always kind of tell people, unsolicited or solicited, is present to you means present differently to present to me. Mm-hmm. So I always kind of bristle at the notion of, hey, be more present, because we don't know what that is. Ultimately, especially if you're using elite athletes to market this, and being present for them is completely different than what it is for us. But all that being said, I feel something. I feel some sort of, dare I say, enlightenment. And I'm not trying to come across as a corporate homer, because I am who I am and I work where I work. And this is just my opinion and not something that was mandated to me by the higher ups. But I feel at peace in the sense that you have this giggle when you try these on, because you're like, is anybody else feeling like the bubble wrap under these things? Like, is anybody else getting this tingly thing? And then after that dissipates, you kind of go about your day like you normally would. And I truly think if that is what I would constitute as being present, then yes. I put these shoes on. There's that initial giggly period where like, hey, this is cute. And then you just go about your day. And in a way, I think that's the ultimate compliment, because to the points my co-host made, these are jarring shoes, especially if you compare them to every other shoe that may be available on the market. But your, dare I say, I wouldn't say embarrassment, but your reluctancy to wear these melts away the minute you put them on and you just go about your day. And so in that regard, yes, I feel a little more present. In fact, I'll tell you this, like, maybe this is me overreaching, but hey, this is a podcast, listener. That's why you're here. You're here for the story and the content. So I bought a pair at the local store. And so I go to the store, you know, you can't help but have a conversation with the retail person as you're buying these, whether it be the athlete that's helping you in the aisle or at the checkout counter. And so we're chatting, he rings me up and he gives me a discount. And I don't know if it's the shoes or I'm inherently a great nice person. I was like, hey man, we don't get the discount on these shoes just yet. And he kind of looked at me and I was like, it's the shoes, man. It's making me smarter and kinder. I would not have said anything had I not worn these shoes. And he was giggling. So I was like, nah, I would have said something. But it's a nice thing to kind of tie a bow on this episode of like, be nice to one another. If nothing else, listen to the end of this podcast and listen to Nick Engvall tell you, like he does every single episode, of, hey, the best thing you can do is tell somebody something nice about their shoes or their apparel or whatever. So it got me that and allowed me to be me. So yes, I'm more present.
good, because the calm makes a lot of sense. Who doesn't feel more calm when their feet get rubbed? Like that, totally. Focused, you're focused on something. So Rohit pieced together the present for us. So I appreciate that.
My presence is the present. And it's really funny as well, because I was talking to one of our listeners via IG DMs, and he brought up the comparison. And I'm sure once I say this, maybe people will point out instances where they've seen the same kind of connection. This reminds me a lot of the Chinese reflexology spas that you see. And every one of those joints that I've gone to has that big poster of your foot and how it's got that, I guess, foot down perspective, and how different parts of the foot correlate to different conditions or aspects of the rest of your body. And this ties a little bit to the acupuncture that Nick was also saying. And I do think that if they are borrowing from that technology, whether it's implicit or explicit, it's another great storytelling aspect. Because if you look at the shoebox of both of these products, they give you that similar map of the foot, but instead of utilizing like the points of the foot saying, oh, this one corresponds to gut health, or this one makes you get less migraines, they applied a heat map on it as if to say, like, this is the part of the foot we think this shoe is going to impact. And granted, this is just one person reading a tea leaves, but it goes back to everything at all. Like, you start being more aware of things as it relates to not only this product, but what all is around you.
Man, the parlors I visit don't have photos of feet.
I'll get you a membership.
I must be going to the wrong ones.
Man, I'll take you to Washington Square in Beaverton, Oregon, and we'll get you.
I mean, I think it's really interesting to like also like throw out a couple of other things that I think come to mind in the sneaker world. Robbie mentioned maybe either early on or before we started recording the DN8, the bubbles. To me, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but like Reebok did the ATVs that were like the giant knobs like 10 years ago or whatever that was. And one thing that I think is really interesting about the mind stuff is, even if it works 10% of what is claimed, I could see the reason that it had to start in this way, where we see all the bubbles, we see all of the points underneath, and then it eventually can evolve to something that exists in the shoe, right? Like, that's the thing that I think will be interesting about it. There's like progression. Maybe it's not a part of the 001 line where this could progress to, but I could see this becoming something that is either incorporated into midsoles or insoles that could be really, you know, I think, you know, we all have thrown, whether it's Move or whatever brand, into a shoe and been like, oh, this old shoe is now comfortable because I have the right, you know, plate and the right cushioning underneath my foot. So if that is a part of the evolution of this, maybe it becomes the next Air or Zoom or React or whatever, because ultimately I feel like we haven't had that from Nike in quite a while. You know, like React for a lot of people might be that, but for like the people that are really into sneakers, I think React is like just a progression. You know, Zoom is one thing. You know, the I forget the plates that, you know, the Jordan 28 came with, the flight plate technology, that kind of was like, okay, well, we're shifting things around in a way that makes it feel different. But like, ultimately we have to have these like experimental things that are about the technology. And I think maybe for me, I just feel like we haven't had a lot of this in the industry as a whole. You know, like, it used to be that, you know, Jordans were usually the ones that were kind of that experimental, you know, oh, we're going to get a Max Air insole and a Zoom Air insole. This is crazy. And like, maybe that's because Nike hasn't had, like, you know, LeBron is obviously arguably the best player of all time for some people, but like, he's not the top of mind as the best basketball player right now. Even in the basketball sneaker space, I think Anthony Edwards has got people's attention more than most. I think, you know, Converse with SGA's shoe has like an opportunity there. But like, ultimately, that technology, that cutting edge technology, just doesn't sit in the ways that, like, you know, we've done it with like the React X, the Zoom X, like the, you know, like the running shoes got the like crazy plates and they got the crazy look for a while there, where like, and now we've like toned that back down and we're kind of moving into like, hey, you know, like Brooks has been making some interesting shoes that look super basic, but like I see so many people talking about them, and like that just hasn't happened in a long time. But I think we all collectively, whether we acknowledge it or not, are kind of always looking for the fun, gimmicky, sort of technology-based innovation that comes along. And to me, this is like kind of a stepping stone, right? Like, I feel like this goes into a basketball shoe or a running shoe. To Robbie's point, you look at that, the 002, it still looks like an off court, like a slide. Like, I'm wearing this to and from, you know, whatever activity I'm going to, versus I'm going to throw this on and wear it all the time. And I think once we get to the point where that, you know, technology moves into, let's say, a general release type shoe, it could be a really cool thing for people if they haven't experienced something like that.
It's insight like that why Nick is a sneaker historian, because I never considered this being a show. And then you expand the same way Nike Air had to have the window, right? The Air Max 1 had to show people, hey, it's visible air. Like, it's an air unit. Like, you can see it. Once you understand, you see it, you understand it. You then actually, your brain tells your feet, you feel it more, right? So, like, I never considered it, but you're definitely right. They're going to start, hopefully, encapsulating this, hiding it, making it look good.
Yeah, maybe we just need to get more people to Rowett's Chinese foot doctor spot in Beaverton. And
listen, right now.
See that poster?
Just say the word.
They have a
Send
deal.
Send a dove in the sky. I'll round up a bunch of you. I'll pick you up from PDX. We'll go 45 minutes to the mall. And they're expanding, so it's only going to get bigger. So
hey,
you're welcome.
We're getting sponsors in 2026. I'm just putting it out there. So, like, maybe that's where we go, is we're going to go to massage parlors for sponsors instead of
Chinese Med Express Spa in Washington Square.
Foot suits.
All right. So last couple of questions. Price point being one side of this conversation that obviously, like, keeps us and some other people out. What's the price that you look at this, Robbie, and you're like, I'm willing to try it? $50?
I'm in at 40, honestly, 45.
Okay.
That's fair.
I think it's like 50 or 60 to me for the slides. Like, that would be I'd be tapping out about that point.
I mostly say this because I can go to the Adidas employee store, which I do frequently, and just replace my cheap slides I wear around the house. The Addy Light slides are like $9, $12 on the discount there. So, like,
yeah,
those are already really soft. And think about it, 90 to 12 is a pretty big jump. So
that kind of leads me into my other question. Are you guys like slides in public kind of guys? Because that's a very generational thing, right? Like,
it is.
My nephews will wear whatever slides, Crocs, day in, day out. You know, like, it's just a different mindset, so to speak.
Crocs are not slides. Crocs are Crocs.
But there's like a gray area there, I guess, is my point, right? Like, Crocs became the slide that were cool enough to wear all day.
If anything, Croc is gray matter, where it is everything and nothing.
All at once.
But so, it is definitely generational. I wear slides, like, if I'm going to go play basketball, I'll wear slides, but it's raining yesterday, so I wore an old pair of Dunks, low, so I could just slip them in and out to, you know, for that easy access. It's definitely a kid thing. The pajama pants outside with slides, I'm like, boy, go put some real pants on. Your dick's going to fall out the little hole. Get out of here. No one wants to see that. They were the thinnest. It's just like, dude, get out of here. Go put, put pants on, put real shoes on.
Yeah. I wear house shoes in the house when it's cold. But, like, I don't, like, I have slides that I wear outside around the house. If I'm, like, you know, laundry's in the garage for us, so if I'm doing laundry, I'll throw the slides on to get around. If I got to take the dog out or, you know, something. But I don't, I would never, like, I'll wear them to the gym occasionally, but I don't ever wear them out doing things. Even the most, you know, I have the, oh man, I can't think of the name of it. That Saucony shoe that came out a couple of years ago, that's like the molded and then it has like the sock liner. Jordan Brand did one that was very similar, where it was like, had the elephant print liner in the shoe. And it's kind of like, it's kind of a slide, but it's like trying to make it a sock too kind of thing. I'll wear something like that occasionally, but I still don't feel fully comfortable wearing that like for a full day if I'm like out and about doing things.
I think, Nick, to take your two questions. Go ahead, Robbie. I'm sorry.
No, I just can't think about what sock in these you're talking about. Go ahead, Rohit.
I was just going to say 90 is a lot. 90 is a lot during more prosperous times. So I get that there would be that barrier of entry. And I think for me as well, to answer your second question, if I'm wearing $90 for a slide, those are going to be pristine slides, meaning I'm not going to treat them like the beaters that slides are expected to be. I'll probably keep these in-house only because I'm worried that if I walk the mean streets of Beaverton and something pops one of the nubs, the shoe has been compromised. My identity has been compromised, as Nick showcases to us. What is that called, Nick?
It's the Tumbago.
Tumbago.
Tumbago butterfly. So it basically, T-O-M-B-O-G-O. So it basically has like a, I'll show you this picture too, because that's a pretty good one. But like this is kind of the.
The Chief logo.
Yeah, okay, I see it. I remember those now, and they're gone.
Yeah, they were. I think I got mine for $100.
Oh, and the Joyride, you know, weren't those supposed to have kind of some feel in the heel? That's how they should have marketed that. Some feel in the heel. So Rohit, you're saying these are premium
beaters. When you want to beat, but with the elite heat on your feet, so you get that feel in the heel. You see what I'm saying? I'm this articulate because of the shoe.
Man, see, you're focused.
I'm focused, man.
My last question before we wrap it up.
Where are they on right now? Put your feet up. Before you wrap up, put your feet on the table.
Right now, I'm wearing probably aesthetically the complete opposite. I'm wearing my Tom Sachs beaters. There's nobody here to stunt on Fridays. That's why Fridays are my true beater day at work.
Oh, my gosh.
So my last question, I completely forgot now, but
got to get you a pair of slides then. Wouldn't have happened if you were wearing those slides.
So my thought was when I first saw that these were releasing was like, well, this is weird timing because it's the dead of winter for most people. And you're selling a slide that most people are going to think about more in the summer. How long until, I mean, Rohit, you might have already seen people wearing them, but like how long until we see people wearing these on the streets? They just dropped this weekend or, you know, this week, basically, it seems like. So
they dropped on Thursday. Today is Friday. It was day two of the drop. I have yet to see these out and about. I may have a kiddo birthday party that I'm going to. And so I might put those on and just kind of see what reaction they get. Because unless you're living under a rock, awesome. we'll give you next. That's what we call a tease in the industry, listener. Come back next week when you can get birthday party observations by me.
What's your prediction, Robbie? How long until you think you'll see people wearing these?
Well, I think you brought up, before I answer that, it is a weird time to release it. It's like I couldn't wear my slides to go play basketball yesterday.
That's what made me think of it. Yeah, yeah.
But maybe this reaffirms the fact that this is an indoor shoe. Like, they don't even want you to wear these outside, which defeats the purpose, because anytime you put on a Nike shoe. People. Exactly.
Yeah.
How am I being their free marketing if I'm in the house wearing them?
That's why you got to get the 002.
Branding is on everybody to symbolize what you like and to show other people you look cool. So don't ever forget that. Like, this undefeated thing means nothing. Anywho.
This means you win at life.
When am I going to see them? Bro, I'm not going to lie to you. Working with little kids and teenagers, I still see trillions of Yeezy slides because adults are broke, so their kids are broke, so they're still wearing Yeezy slides. I mean, like, and they're wearing, like, hooked Yeezy slides. And they're wearing, like, the off-brand, the Target or the Walmart Yeezy slide, which is not the slide, but, like, the rubber slip-on joint.
The Yeezy?
I, by and large, see kids, even kids I know whose parents work at Nike's because they have, like, obvious, like, stuff that Nike kids would have. One kid is like, oh, what? Those are cool Jason Tatum's. Like, yeah, my dad helps make them. It's like, oh, bet. That's why that colorway is so cool. But to that point, $90 is $90 in a both physical, like, thermal time and an economic time. I don't think we're going to see these, like, not to be mean, I'm interested in them now. I truly am more interested through this conversation. I want to be sold on them. But, like, I can't see people. Christmas has already happened, too. Christmas was 3-4 weeks ago. So you can't even, like, have these. I don't see a world where these are getting widely adapted until maybe summer. But I can't see the economy doing better in summer. I've been out of full-time work for almost 2 years looking every day. So I'm not trying to spend $90 on no slide when I have all these other hobbies. Like, so the kids yep. who then kids usually you want the kids or the youth to drive sales. Like, we're in our 30s and 40s. We're not the movers and shakers really so much anymore. You want the young kids with expendable income. That's when I was buying the most amount of shoes in my life. I can't yeah. see me at, I can't get a time machine in this economy. If you, to make it all work to where I have my money now at that point in time where I would spend $90 on a slide over $100 on a full Nike shoe I could get at the outlet that I really wanted to run. Like, there's this levels. It's in a, I don't see it. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to be really nice and say, I don't see it because of a lot of factors. Control.
Yeah, I think. Well, the control when it releases, though.
That's a huge. That's weeks after, literally 2 weeks after Christmas, bro. Like, you couldn't have gotten like. And I know that there's tariffs, there's shipments, a lot of things that work to that. But if this is your huge initiative, and the last CNBC article I read about Nike was about how top execs are just buying back stocks over and over again, like every big business does. If they know these are supposed to move like that, they should have had them under Christmas trees a month and a half ago. Why are you still trying to push DN8s when you know you're trying to push this a year later? Because, I mean, we all know that R&D on this is not new. This is easily a decade worth of R&D. So, yeah, like,
definitely part of the rollout.
Why would you drop another DN8 colorway for the fucking millionth time that no one's going to buy when you know this is coming out in a year? You know it's coming out in a year and a half. Why are, they know. So, like, it's a huge, huge drop. To have this not be a Christmas. There's not one Nike shoe I wanted over Christmas. I didn't even look on Nike.com. And I got a Nike gift card. And I was like, I wasn't even like looking for shoes.
Well, thanks like, a lot, Bobby.
Right? But it's like, the economy's ass. The generation who's supposed to be having expendable income don't have money. Kids aren't going out. Like, they're hurting, man. It's a unfortunate economic time. And they pushed it at the wrong time. It's a dead of winter for a slide with holes in it.
New year, for $90. New year, new you, though. Come on.
I want to like it. New Year's resolution. I wanted the takeaway to be, yeah, man, I'm going to buy a pair, but like.
The dinks are not dinking.
Bro, I bought the Kith Asics, which feel fantastic. Kith Asics feel fantastic because Gel White's been around for 50 years and feels great. Like, I bought those for $120, or no, they're $150. But still, like, that's a whole shoe that kids I felt covered
more
in the
than the Nike Mind Dose.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, ugh. And so it's like economic, a lot of features, man, but it's really, really hard to keep pushing. And like, and it's not just them. Graphic cards are up. RAM is up. Like,
oh,
video
man.
Game prices
hard drives
are
up.
Hard drives are
right
insane
now.
Right
yeah.
now. So
what about
it's like
the booster pack of the One Piece trading card game? Because I know that's
everything is sold out. You can't even. I got lucky to get pre-order. I didn't want to go into this, but I got lucky to get pre-order. On the new set that comes out, I paid $139 per box. Retail's $120. They're going for $270 online because people need money so bad. Like, what, like, bro, like, people are hurting. And it's like, to think that a slide that I can buy for $12 up the street, and that's just because I want an Adidas one. If you don't want to spend Adidas money, you can go to Walmart or Target, and you can get a slide for not that much. Or you can go to their own Nike. You can go to Nike.
Okay, let's try one what if you're 23, 24, 25 disposable income. Like, I mean, look, I didn't have disposable income when I was that age, but I was still spending like I did. So like, right. I'd probably be
credit card debt.
I probably would have thrown these on a credit card back then. 100%. But like, I do wonder if that, like, this is one of those conversations where I think, like, is there that audience still that, like, you know, you're living at home and you're going to be the, you know, I don't know if it's not the right term, but like the influencer of that next era, right? Like the person that's like cool because they were wearing, you know, like, I'm old, man. Like, people thought I was cool because I wore Black Cat Jordan 1s when I worked in the stereo shops and installed car stereos. And I was just like, I wear sneakers. Like, this is normal for me. But like, first release Black Cat 4s, like, people didn't really pay attention unless they were really into it. And most people were not into sneakers. And you couldn't look online and be like, oh, new sneakers are coming out. You had to pay attention and talk to your buddies about it. Where like, maybe that exists for like the 20-year-old right now or 25-year-old. I don't know. Like, I do agree, like, with the, it feels off on the timing, you know, like the holidays, winter, but like, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm like so curious about it, even more now after talking about it, you know?
Ultimately, that's where I think Nike wins, because we are talking about this. And initially, yeah, when I saw this, I'm like, okay, this is a cute thing to talk about. Maybe we can get a, and this is 6 months ago, it's like, maybe we can get a podcast episode out of this. We're almost bordering 1 hour. So thank you for listening. But yeah, there is something there. So we look forward to seeing how this thing evolves. I think it's fair to say. And hopefully, please make it cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Nick, your black cat thing, black cats are still ultimately a black pair of sneakers. And people were familiar with Jordans. You don't have to be intimately familiar with Jordans. But what was that, 2003, 2004, when Black Cats first came out? The OG?
Yeah.
Something like that. So you still see the Jumpman. This is me making the Jumpman in the frame. you don't have to be in the know to know that's Jumpman Jordan. Even if you just call him Jumpman Jordan or that's Jumpman, like, you don't have to connect the dots in 2003 to put together. You pull up in these, you're going to get conversation starters because they are so obscure looking, even in a world full of obscure looking slides, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree with that. I 100% agree with that. I think that it's like there's a wow factor to just the oddity of it in the bigger picture of things. And I think that's something probably that makes it more intriguing to me, you know, as we're talking about it, even because it's like, yeah.
It's the luxurification of the brand, too. We're not going to go down this rabbit hole, but setting the precedent at $90 for an interesting looking piece of TPU that's still molded rubber with some.
Yeah.
The other day. So, like, they can charge Kith prices for hoodies. They can start charging, you know, Birkenstock prices for slides. And it's cool. I mean, it's an initiative. Let's end that on that.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't even think about the Birkenstock thing. I wonder if that's I doubt we have too many Birkenstock diehard wearers as listeners, but I would love to hear from people. If you have thoughts on the Nike Mind stuff, let us know, leave a comment, message us on Instagram, wherever you're at. Yeah, it's a good thing to talk about. I think like that's kind of what ultimately it comes down to. And we'll have Rowett's going to wear his pair for like 6,000 days in a row and then do a review in 10 years every day. So come back for that. Tune in. We'll be here 20 years of the Sneaker History Podcast in 2036.
That's what the Patreon's for.
Imagine that thumbnail.
Just me with a Rip Van Winkle beard, never being allowed 100 miles near an airport. Because God hoping I'm still in the country by then.
Jesus. Yeah. It's like the modern version of Forrest Gump. It's done in Nike Mind 001s.
But instead of running, I'm just at various coffee shops blogging.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, y'all. We appreciate you. Leave us a review if you haven't. We look forward to talking to you more, hearing from you more in 2026. Thanks for watching, listening.
Happy New Year.
Peace. Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. If you want more insights into the sneaker world, I've started a newsletter called the Sneaker Newsletter to share my knowledge of over 2 decades experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link below or go to thesneakernewsletter.com. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.